The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is March 31st, 2010, or 2015. When I say 2010, 2015. And we are sponsored by U.S. Wellness Meats. John Wood and his family are the best. They can be found at grasslandbeef.com. Go out and check out their website. Very easy to navigate through. And he has the best meat around. We've had a lot of people already that listen to the show that are ordering from John. I couldn't be happier to help him out. He's been a godsend to me, and we're going to have him back on the show real soon. Secondly, Saugerties Chiropractic Center. That's who I go to when I get all busted up. I've gone to Mark Colligan for over 10 years. He's put me back together. We're doing a lot of stuff right now. He does everything from the drop table, soft tissue, to deep tissue laser, you know, pulsed electromagnetic frequencies. You know, he specializes with sports injuries. He really loves the whole human performance potential thing. Plus, he works on anybody. He's fabulous. And now he's doing a lot of rock taping. So they are in the process of redoing their website. But in the New York area, this is only for people who live in New York State, 845-246-5020. That's 845-246-5020. Joan usually answers there. She's a great lady. Tell her we sent you from Motivation and Muscle. Thirdly, Dr. William Wong, who's a regular on the show now. He's sponsoring me for Iceland. I couldn't thank him enough. Dr. Wong's Essentials, you can go out and Google that or go out to www.docsprefer.com. Dr. Wong has his own podcast, too, and he works with all types of athletes. It doesn't matter if you're an elite or you're just beginning it. You get a hold of him, he will call you back. He's fantastic. And we have another new sponsor here today. We got Atomic Athletic. If you're not sure of them, Roger's on with me every Tuesday, like he'll be on with us in a minute. www.atomicathletic.com, number one. But Roger's got, he's going to talk about, he's really running a hell of a sale on a safety squat bar, and it's all the Olympic style, obviously. $225. You're not going to find that out anywhere at that price and the quality. You know, Roger's been around. I've known him since the days of York. The guy's a stand-up guy. If he tells you what's happening, you know, you're going to get what you asked for with him. So Roger's going to come on and talk a little bit more about that. And today we're going to talk about some really interesting stuff that I love, man. We're going to talk about, obviously, heavy shoulder work, but this is my favorite. We're going to talk about the old-time partials and supports, which if you know anything about me and these shows, especially Roger and I go back with a lot of the old-time stuff. I don't think there's anything that can make you stronger than getting in that power rack and just busting your ass, but knowing how to do partials, knowing how to do supports. I don't know if we're going to get into isometrics. That'll be his cue when he comes in. We can talk that. The power rack, to my in my knowledge, and I don't profess to know everything, it's still the best piece of equipment I think was ever built. Thanks, Bob Hoffman, but there was many before you that were doing it off barrels and all kind. You know, Paul Anderson, we know the whole deal. So, Raj, welcome to Motivation Muscle. I know that was long-winded, but, you know, welcome as a sponsor of the show now. And we'll have you on for a few months with that. And I hope that it really sends some business your way. So come on. Let's get, if you want to give a little bit about the safety squat, however you want to lead into our heavy training here, let's get rolling.
Well, yeah, thanks, Eric. Glad to be here. I don't do a lot of specials. And the reason I don't is because I try to keep my prices really in line with the market while also doing as much that's made in the USA or at least North America as possible. I do a lot of work with Canada too. Of course, we're, you know, Northwest Ohio, so technically Canada's like 20 miles away from here. But yeah, the safety squat bar is 100% made in the USA. It's really a fantastic thing. I fell in love with the safety squat bar about 10 years ago. And the reason I fell in love with it is not the reason that a lot of people would think. You know, I get a lot of coaches calling me up and ordering the safety squat bar because you get the, especially high school athletes, that really don't know how to do a back squat the right way.
Okay.
And a lot of these coaches think, oh, you know, I've got that yoke around my shoulders, it's padded, and there's no way to do the back squat wrong with that. Well, you know, it does make it easier to do a back squat, but with the years that I've been in the business, and I sort of collect the sort of idiot stories out there, there is no totally foolproof piece of equipment out there. Somebody's going to figure out how to screw up with it. And we could have a whole show on just the absolute total fails that I've heard over the years. But that's not what this is about. I fell in love with the safety squat bar because of that rotator cuff tear I got back in, I think it was 2000. And it was, you know, there was a point where I had just moved into a new house. And I was doing a lot of moving, you know, carrying things like the couch and, you know, the big armoire that I put my TV in and, you know, massive amounts of weight and things like a power rack and stuff like that. You know, big, heavy, awkward things. And I'm somebody who believes in working in my own moving job, not just hiring it out. And in the process, that torn rotator cuff got tweaked. You know, and it was a stupid thing that happened. You know, let's fit this couch through a door and flip it on its side and twist it this way. And that you guys have all heard. You've been through it. One of my favorite episodes of Family Guy is where Peter decides to take the couch during the Star Wars episode. And, you know, he's making the jokes about that. We've been there. You guys get that. Well, so I've got this thing tweaked, and the next morning it was bad enough that, you know, seriously, earlier that week I'm doing, you know, full snatches with more than body weight for reps. Cool, right? Later that week, after tweaking that screwed up shoulder with a freaking couch, I couldn't do back squats because I couldn't get my arm back far enough. And it was like, okay, what do I do? And I start thinking about it, and it actually ended up trying out the safety squat bar because a buddy told me it was a good way to go. He had one. And I'd never used one before. You know, I'm a barbell guy. And it was like, wait a minute. I'm not going to use a safety squat bar. I'm an Olympic lifter. We don't use things like that. I'm not going to mollycoddle myself. And my buddy was like, you guys have heard me talk about him. It was Yasser. You know, Yasser was in a exercise and physiology program. And, you know, ultimately got his master's in it. He says, you know, rehabbing an injury, that's not mollycoddling. That's,
no, not at all.
That's therapy. And fine. Well, having those handles in front allowed me to start doing back squats again. I mean, it was bad enough that I couldn't do front squats even.
Right.
So it wasn't one of these issues where it was wrist flexibility or anything like that. My torn rotator cuff was all inflamed and screwed up again.
Sure.
So suddenly I'm back squatting again. I start getting the testosterone spikes just from, you know, doing full body exercise after being laid off of it for about a week and a half. I'm loving it. And then suddenly I can do my harness lifts and hip lifts again. And I can start deadlifting again. And I start doing the Indian clubs. That's the next thing that I got into. You know, real light. But let me tell you, pound and a half Indian clubs are better than no Indian clubs.
Precisely.
Doing my squats with the safety squat, let that shoulder rest and repair itself. I'm not inflaming it. I can start stretching it again, working on the range of motion, all that kind of good stuff with, it, you know, standard stuff, a broomstick and the Indian clubs, and pretty soon I'm doing hang cleans again.
Yep.
Then I'm pressing again. Then I'm doing power snatches. Pretty soon I'm doing full Olympic lifts again. And I'm getting my back squatting in the whole time by using the safety squat bar.
Yep.
Today, I don't use my safety squat bar as often because I can get my arms back with the good narrow grip that I like for doing back squats. It's not an issue. There are times when I've done a minor tweak or I've overtrained or whatever because I've never had shoulder surgery.
Correct.
On that rotator cuff. I want to avoid shoulder surgery as long as possible because everybody I've ever talked to that's had shoulder surgery ends up not totally thrilled with it.
No, you're never really the same again. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, it's not the same. And I figure, you know, at 43, be 44 pretty soon, snatching body weight, you know, that's pretty cool. And I can do all kinds of other things and whatnot we've talked about on the show. It's one of those deals where I have it there ready anytime I need to, and I'm not missing workouts.
Well, that's the thing. You've got something that if you anybody that has any type of shoulder problem or, you know, maybe you put a little injury or a little strain on it, this allows you the opportunity to get back in the game quick. And let's face it, nobody, you know, I don't know many people that don't like to squat heavy. So, I mean, look, we know it's a quality bar. We know what you put out. And, you know, you're cutting $75 off the bar. So it's like, you know, anybody that...
Yeah, it's a limited time thing.
Right, right.
Because, you know, we actually overbought steel. You know, it's one of those deals. And I figured, hey, you know, I'll mention it on Eric's show. I'm on every week anyway. It's a great tool. So what the heck? Jump on it when the cheaper ones are gone. It's going back up to the regular price. It's just one of those deals, and I hope a lot of people take advantage of it. It's a great tool.
The price is right, and if you're interested, go out to atomicathletic.com. So with that in mind, this is going to segue right into our heavy shoulder work. So let's get right into that, Raj. What do you want to talk about as far as shoulder work goes today?
Well, you know, we've done a lot of profiling of specific strongmen and what they've done. Today, I want to get into a what I call a class of exercises, and I'm going to talk about a bunch of different guys and some of their training methods and the way they demonstrated their skill and strength at that sort of thing. And it's partials and supports. Partials and supports are a classic strongman feat of strength. And there are a lot of different demonstrations of that out there. And the neat thing about the partials and supports is the strongman can put his own personal flair into it. But ultimately, if you've got a chain lift bar and or a power rack where you can do any of the basic movements. I'm talking about a hip lift, a harness lift, a hand and thigh. I'm not big on the neck lift for maximum weight, but let me tell you, at my 2012 picnic, Chad Ullum did, I think it was 905 pounds.
That's phenomenal.
The guy's a monster. He's a beast. And, you know, he had recently retired from throwing professionally in the Highland Games. And you know how big those guys are. And he was, he is not one of those sort of pudgy dudes. He's one of those lean and fast guys, but with a giant bull neck. Now, that is one of those lifts that is in this category, and it's all related. So what you're talking about is with a heavy support, it's not necessarily an isometric. An isometric is technically a push against an object that you can't move. And if, for the guys who have my tendon and ligament strength training DVD, which is still my best-selling DVD, it was the first one that I did, I go through those definitions and the basics of it and the different ways of doing it that were done at York because Smitty taught me how to do it. And he's the guy who worked with Bill March and Bob Hoffman on designing the power rack to systematically be able to do that and make it easier to do. Because way back in the day, and I kind of hate that term, but whatever, you know, you had guys like John Grimmick doing it using chains that he set up in his mom's attic. So, you know, guys will say Bob Hoffman did not invent the partial movement or the isometric, and that's a fact. He didn't. And guys like, because guys like Grimmick were doing that back in the early 1930s. I think Grimmick started doing that kind of training when he was like 16. So, you know, it was probably actually in the late 1920s, but that doesn't matter. The oldest record that I have found of the heavy support type movement. Actually, I found in my copy of Physical Improvement, Volume 2, which was done written by Mark Berry in 1930. He reproduced a woodcut of an old-time strongman stunt supporting a small merry-go-round. And the guy's doing that tabletop kind of thing. Now, there's no date on that one. So, I actually have a sort of dated version of where of the oldest one, because we're not really sure of the date on that merry-go-round thing.
Yep.
If you go to your copy of Alan Calvert's Super Strength, which it doesn't matter when it was printed, because, and I'll read you the illustration to go with it, or the caption to go with the photograph. Figure 31, this is plate 16, so it's about the middle of the book. It would be page 54. Page 54. It's figure 31. Shows one of the old-time, quote, strong men doing a harness lift. This picture is reproduced from Professor Desbonnet's book, The Kings of Strength. The professor says that on this platform, the supporting chains were so arranged that the work of lifting was much lightened. So what you've got in the photo is this old-time strongman who is not named in Calvert's book.
Yep.
Standing on a platform above the platform that he's lifting.
Yep.
And it's hard to tell because it's not a great reproduction, but there are at least 10 people standing on this platform. And it looks like he is lifting it maybe 8 inches.
Yep.
And this guy is put together, whoever he is. And he's got the great old classic handlebar mustache and the whole deal. The harness that he's using looks almost identical to the one that I've sold for years. I'm sure it's leather. It looks to me like there is a double D ring setup. So he's got one in the front and one in the back. But Desbonnet, whose book was originally, it was written in French, and I don't think anybody's reproduced it. It's worth an absolute fortune if you can find one. I know Terry Todd has a copy down in the museum there at University of Texas, Austin. We've talked about it. Calvert calls it the Kings of Strength. It's the French is Les Rois de Force. So this is not a new concept. I know there are reports of guys both here and in Europe doing heavy harness type lifting going back into the 1700s, but obviously there are not photographs of those guys.
Right.
So Les Rois de Force, I believe, came out around the 1880s, but you can probably look that up on somewhere on the internet. But that's just one of the many different types of partial lifts and supporting lifts, and they're very colorful. Gorner was big on those in the circus, and there's a very famous photo of him. Many of these photos are reproduced in Gorner the Mighty. My favorite is actually the one where he's got what looks like a yoke walk.
Yep.
Where there are four guys sitting on top, and they've got barrels hanging from this bar that crosses one shoulder.
Yep.
And Gorner's just standing there smiling in his singlet with these four guys on one shoulder with these barrels hanging off. I think it's an ad for whiskey because the guys are each holding what look like whiskey bottles. And I It might be Jim Beam. It looks like a JB on the barrels. But he says, you know, carrying four men on one shoulder, total weight over 1,000 pounds, performed in South Africa as part of his circus act in the 1935 tour. He did a lot of lifts that a lot of people think are supporting movements that actually weren't. For example, there's another one where he had a special bar made up where there are two guys sitting in on like swings on the end of the bar.
Yeah.
And he actually did a two hands jerk with these live weights totaling 392 pounds. So it's he in the photograph, it looks like he's doing a heavy overhead support.
Yeah.
That's actually his jerk. He cleaned it first.
Yeah.
With the guys there. So when you're looking at these photos, it's a good idea to actually read the captions.
Yep.
Another one of these feats is the human bridge. And Gorner actually was a master of the human bridge.
Yep.
There's a fantastic photo of him supporting 4,000 pounds on his shoulders, where there's, it looks more like, do you remember one of the World's Strongest Man contests? They did a loading event where they had to do a squat, I think it was, where it was more of a leverage type lift. So the squat was a partial lift on their shoulders for the back squat.
Yeah.
But it was a hinged sort of almost like a wheelbarrow, a giant wheelbarrow bucket sort of that they kept adding barrels into, I think.
Yeah, I remember that, I think.
Yeah. This is a similar type setup. So he's got a car on a platform, and he's doing a very partial movement. To me, it looks like he actually lifted it up easily a quarter squat. You know, my guess is 10 or 12 inches. You know, 4,000 pounds, that's no small feat right there.
Yep. No.
But he also did a lot of them in what is also incorrectly termed a bench press position.
Yep.
There's a great shot of him supporting a ballet company as part of his vaudeville music hall act.
Okay.
And there are six women sort of doing a can-can on top of him.
Yep.
This platform that they're standing on is not being bench pressed. It's supported on his chest with his hands and his knees.
Wow.
So what he's got is a special bench underneath him, supporting his shoulders and probably his feet too, because you can't see it. It's obviously a promo shot.
Yeah.
But all of these different supporting things are a fantastic way of building raw tendon and bone power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some guy, you've heard the term, he's a raw-boned looking guy.
Yeah.
Well, it's always been my opinion that that guy who has the big raw-boned kind of look, who looks powerfully strong, has done heavy, heavy work.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about here, is heavy work. It's and it does add to your bone density.
Yeah.
You know, the paleontologists and archaeologists, anthropologists who study skeletal structures.
Yep.
They know when they've found somebody who does heavy manual labor on a regular basis. You know, is somebody a blacksmith?
Yep.
Were they a cooper? Were they somebody who did heavy, heavy work where their bones were supporting massive amounts of weight?
Yeah.
And, you can tell from the skeletal structure, you know, they can tell if the blacksmith was right-handed or left-handed. You know, it's the amount of work changes the actual bone itself. Mm-hmm. And the bone becomes more dense. It's quite literally the opposite of osteoporosis.
Absolutely.
And guys, don't think that you can't get osteoporosis. It happens.
Hey. Yeah.
It's less common than with women, but it does happen. And,
the bottom line is with all this type of partials and holds and supports and manual labor, moving stones, we do a thing here where I'll have dentists sometimes, we could have stones from 60 pounds to 500 pounds here, and I'll make him drag, unless he can carry them, and you can only go so many because you're going to wear out, he'll have to drag them then to complete the whole pile and put them in one corner of my garage. You want to talk about building, that's unprecedented power when you're doing that. You're using every muscle in your body times how many stones. I think at one time I had him drag 23 stones over.
Oh, my God.
All bearing weights. You want to see density. You want to see ligament and tendon, because if you do that for years, you're going to see the stuff basically just bowing out of your skin. It's not going to be like people are like, what's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with you. You've built massive, not only flesh, but you've built muscle under it. You've built tendon, ligament, bone, like you're talking about. You know, just think how many women, if they, and we get into this all the time with everybody now. Why isn't the message getting out? I mean, this stuff has been around since, the late 1800s and probably way before that. I don't know what's documented. I've never gone out to look to see when the first so-called physical culture whole thing started. It's been around for whatever you want to call it. Let's see. Men and women have always had to go out and drag things, move things, whatever. But it turned a whole different light to where we are now. But the thing is, when you especially women, you see bone density, and they're always telling, oh, take calcium and all this. Yeah, well, how much does that really help? The thing is to go out and learn from somebody or have somebody train you and learn to get physical. And I don't want to hear somebody say, well, I don't want to get muscular. Well, no one's saying you got to get muscular, but what's wrong with having density, having a very defined, sharp look? I don't know anybody that would say no to that. The problem is it's an excuse. It's a way to say, I can't do that, or I don't want to look like her, or I don't want to have – that's all load of shit. Would you rather be all hunched over or you can't even walk up a flight of stairs due to pain? This stuff here has – you can paint this whole thing we're talking about with the broadest brush on the biggest canvas, and there's nobody, and I mean nobody – that can't reap the rewards from this.
Oh, absolutely. I've got another thing that I want to tell people. I've had some people who watch my tendon and ligament strength training DVD,
yep.
which, it's just shy of an hour long as it is.
Right.
So I don't get into every possible variation that you can get into it. But, The criticism I've had is, where are the one-arm lifts? Because I just don't get into that. I tell people the concepts, totally do one-arm stuff. I used to do two-arm overhead squats where it's locked out overhead, and in the power rack, and you do your quarter squat with the weight overhead. Great.
Yep.
You can do that one-handed, too. You know, Anton Matejsek used to actually walk while supporting 500 pounds on what was called a straight arm lift.
Correct.
It was a one-handed lift. You know, the elbow's locked out. The shoulder is locked out.
Yep.
I get into how to lock out the neck in that, where you're actually locking the traps in with the entire shoulder girdle. This is not the neck lift. It's how to lock your shoulder in with the neck for this kind of thing. And it works one-handed or two-handed. Now, I'm not necessarily recommending you do what Matejsek does here, where he's got a special three-man bicycle with three guys on it, where he's walking with a straight arm movement. That's part of the strongman deal, where they're being vaudevillian performers. It's great. But if you've got a power rack, you know, you set it up overhead, and you do your one-arm support where, you're moving it only 1 inch kind of deal. You're getting it up there. It's totally supported. If, God forbid, anything happens, the bar comes down, it's on the pins in the rack. You know, everybody's safe and sound and so on and so forth. You know, that kind of thing is fantastic. And even when you're doing a dynamic explosive lift, that kind of strength and support, Smitty told me when he started teaching me how to do this stuff. He said, because I asked him, why would I want to do that? Sure, I'm doing overhead lockout squat things with, at the time I got up to 210 kilos, weighing, competing in the, at the time, the 154 pound class. Why would I want to do that? And he said, that's a great question. You want to do it because not only are you increasing your bone density, your muscular and tendon density, but mentally, that weight and any other weight underneath it is no longer going to be a thing of fear.
Exactly.
And I see this with a lot of new athletes where they see a number on a bar and they're scared of it. Well, why are they scared of a number? If they're capable of doing it, then there shouldn't be fear there. I see a lot of this, especially with the overhead lifts. People think, oh my gosh, what if I hurt myself with this? Well, you dump the weight. But if you're in a power rack, dumping the weight means, you're moving it an inch or two. That's not a big deal.
No, it's not. And this is one of the things I do with athletes or even people. I've had a lot of success. I haven't put it out, but I've had a lot of success doing certain movements in the power rack. When I start Alex's son here, he's going to master his body weight, and he will be started right out in the power rack for two reasons. Number one, I want him to build multiple confidence as quick as we can do with him. And number two, I want him in an environment where he feels safe, because if you're making lifts, your confidence is going to grow exponentially. And when you have a new kid coming in, you got to establish those boundaries with him. I got to kind of wrap him up tight for a while until I can see him progressing the way we want to do. At that point, obviously, if he stays here, I mean, I would say by the end of the summer, he's going to be lifting sandbags, and he might move even in the light rocks. I'm going to train in a strongman fashion that I did in some ways with Dennis when we lost all the weight with him. But I've really defined a couple ways of doing things. Even in the power rack, where if you don't have a weight problem, I could get you as dense and as hard by doing one movement, or you could do three movements, but the way we set it up in the rack and the way we push and press and all that, I've done it. So I know what you can do as far as hardening yourself up without even drastically changing your diet. And one other thing before we shift over, because we're almost at the end of the show, is when Roger was talking about the two-hand press overhead. If you like dumbbells, I've got the thing for you, because we are going to market it, and it's not, this is not a selling campaign here. I always want to do bigger and bigger dumbbells overhead. I wanted to do them with as thick bars. I wanted for whatever it was for, one-inch bar, whatever size bar I want to use. And I came up with a thing where I can build, where this was built, where basically this goes right through your main rods, and you can set this at any height you want. It's all built through the center where it's open. You lay your dumbbell right in the saddles there. You get under it. I usually brace myself against one of the, obviously the four, well, the bracing of the power rack. You know, you have four points of it with the holes in it. And you can push this thing at any size, at any height you want, and you're totally safe. Because if you got to let it go, it's just going to come straight down into the saddles. Not unless you do something stupid and veer to the left or right, then you might end up having a problem. But this has never happened with anybody, myself, who's ever used it. So, you know, we're talking about heavy partials. And, you know, if you don't have chains hanging where you can lock a dumbbell into these chains and push it, if you get in trouble, you can let it go and it's not going to do any damage. This is something you might want to think about down the road when we put them out. Extremely safe. You can load any size, any handle dumbbell up in this thing, and you can push anything you want. You can do it just standing there bolt upright. Like I said, if you want to brace the non-arm that you're using, fabulous. So that's just a couple tips I got there, Rog. So why don't we, you know, whatever you got left, why don't we finish this up, because we're almost near the end of the show, please.
Yeah, yeah. The one training tip that I want to give to people is, yep. You know, you're talking about dumbbells.
Yep.
Try with your standard size bar. And I'm mm-hmm. talking, you've got your classic York bar, that not yep. the Olympic bar, but your standard size bar.
Yes, sir.
Make it into a dumbbell in the center. And
yeah.
you've got the rods sticking all the way through in your power rack.
Yep.
It's going to look goofy. It
yep.
doesn't matter. You know, you're going to use those rods sticking all the way out like that as
yep.
your safety.
Yep.
And you do your dumbbell presses, dumbbell deadlifts, whatever, with a barbell. As,
sure.
you know, guys used to do one-hand barbell presses, one-hand
yep.
clean and jerks with a barbell,
yep.
one-hand snatches with a barbell. These, when you're working on these things, go back to the old books.
Yep.
Look at what they did for training. One of the articles I did in my bombproof bulletin, just to, you know, expertly tie it into the closing of the show.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
I did a article on setting up for the bent press.
Yep.
And how to leverage a barbell, and just working on the barbell leveraging into that position.
Mm-hmm.
And just learning how to work that barbell in a leveraged fashion into that bent press position.
Yep.
It, you know, you can work on that for your whole workout if you want for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, to some extent you're working a technique.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to kick your ass.
Yeah. No, literally.
Yeah, literally. And, you know, what great training. And it might seem like you're not doing much because, oh, that's just a heavy support position you're getting into. Try it.
Yeah.
Just try it. Because the next day you're going to say, oh, that's that bone strengthening that Roger was talking about.
Absolutely.
I'm feeling it. I got my testosterone going, and as I've mentioned on past shows, it does not matter what your age is.
Nope.
When I talk about getting that testosterone jolt into your system, it's going to happen at any age. I'm not talking about shots and pills here.
Right.
This is the natural thing. You lift heavy, testosterone output increases.
Yep.
It is that simple. So anyway, let me I'll do my close up here.
Okay. Give us all the information, Roger.
Yep. Guys, go to the site, atomicathletic.com. That's AtomicAthletic.com. And, you know, while supplies last, I do have that special going on the safety squat bar. It's a tremendous tool. I can't say enough about it. Get it while supplies last, because I've never been able to put a sale on that unit before. I might not again. We've had Atomic Athletic around for 16 years. I think I've sold a version of a safety squat bar for almost that long. I've sold this one for, I think, 8 years now, where we haven't modified it. Shipping is as cheap as it can get. You will be shocked at how low it is, because I've done some interesting things in the way of packaging.
Yeah.
Because I've really studied that too. If you listen to the show, you probably understand that I drill down deep on this stuff.
Yep.
Probably a little too excessively, but certainly in the case of shipping a safety squat bar, it will simply save you money. So.
Well, that's the thing. That's what you want.
You have money to buy more weights, sir.
Yeah. You got anything else, Raj?
Yeah. It's just check out the blog. I know that leveraging a barbell, to get set up for a bent press or whatever, is on the blog. Go to the front page of the site, atomicathletic.com, and in the upper right, you'll see blog. Click on that. In the lower left is the Atomic Athletic Bombproof Bulletin email newsletter. Been doing it for 16 years now. Sign up. It's free. And, tons and tons of information.
And don't forget, too, we were talking about power racks. Roger handles power racks. So, you can go out and have a look-see on that, too.
Especially when you get into the customization of power racks and all that kind of thing.
Yep.
It's nearly endless today. But even a basic power rack will expand what you can do in the gym so much, especially once you learn how to use it. And that's really why I came out with that tendon and ligament strength training DVD years ago, to teach people how to properly use their power rack. And I do have some of the chain lift bar stuff in there, too. The harness lift, the one-hand deadlift. Those of you who know my other mentor, Vic Boff, his Coney Island show partner was Charlie Phelan, who was known for his one-hand and one-finger deadlifting. I show how to do some of that with a ring weight handle and that kind of deal. It's it's good stuff.
Just a basic rack, man. I've got some ideas. I've got one built here. I know now everybody can hang plates and all that, and when you're in a small environment, and believe me, I am, but I'm still we're going to see what happens with everything in the next few months with M&M and FBC, because I'm going to be doing some outside gym building, and it is going to include another power rack, because I'm in the process of deciding if I'm going to sell a lot of my first-generation Nautilus stuff, because I'm getting into, after Iceland, it's going to be a lot of yoke, a lot. I want to build a backlift machine. I'm kind of going now a whole nother direction with myself and the company. It's going to be very interesting how things shake out, because I'll tell you this, I'm going to build the most fucking strength you've ever seen out there in your life. If it kills me, I don't give a shit. You don't even know what's going through my head right now with strength, man. It's like I've got 10 billion things crossing my head every day. It's going to be very interesting. There's going to be a lot of upheaval here in the next year, believe me. And it's going to be all good, too. So there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out of here, whether it's written, vocal. We're going to make the equipment, but we're going to do some stuff, and Roger and I are going to do some projects, but we haven't really sat down with a lot of stuff. We talked about a trap bar I'm going to have my buddy Alex build, and Roger might get involved with this. I don't know what we're going to do yet, so just stay tuned. That's all I can say. Roger, you all set?
I am all set, Eric. Thanks.
Okay.
It was fun being able to bring up this kind of historical thing on a
needs to be told.
Yeah, and it looks hokey sometimes when you see these old pictures, you know, guys like Anton Matasek.
Sure.
Doing it, you know, here he's lifting three guys on a bicycle. Well,
yep.
Let's look at what he was actually doing there. The physical makeup of the weight needed to look good for his vaudeville act.
And
impressive.
Let's remember this, too. We talked about a lot of the stuff they did to do this stuff. I mean, this isn't something you're just going to do tomorrow. I mean, you've got to put the reps in. You got to put the partials in. You know, you're lifting apparatus that, you know, really isn't around today. I mean, it's in, you know, there's little holes in the wall all over America where there's still people doing it. But this stuff is damn hard, and that's what I've said. You know, that's why people retreat to different newisms, as I'll say today. And I'm not naming any of the stuff that's popular, because I'm not going to give them that advertising. So, you can guess what I'm thinking. So, this is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Our sponsors today are U.S. Wellness Meats, that's www.grasslandbeef.com. John Wood, if you're listening, I want to thank you for all your support all through the years, especially with the podcast show, and you've helped me with some damage I've done to myself, too. Secondly, we've got Saugerties Chiropractic Center. They're only in New York State. They're the ones that put me back in place. They are building a new website, but to get a hold of them, give Joan a call at 845-246-5020. That's 845-246-5020. I guarantee it, you'll be very happy with your progress with Mark. Thirdly, we have our good friend Dr. Will Wong, who now is a regular on the show. As I said before, you can Google Dr. Wong's Essentials, or you can go out to www.docsprefer.com. If you want to get a hold of Dr. Wong, as he said on the last podcast, he will answer you. And I already know, because I had to introduce him to another gentleman that does podcasts with us, and they've made contact, and I couldn't be happier for him. And now we have Atomic Athletic here with us as a sponsor, too. Obviously, Roger talked to you about the new, you know, the bar, the sale on the bar. We're going to put this show up today because obviously we want him to get as much as he can, you know, get as many people in, help as many people out. And, you know, safety squat bar, I mean, if you got some issues, obviously I've got some right now. It's the way to go. You want to rehab, you know, Roger's got a tear and it worked for him. If you just got a sprain or you got a little bit of pull here and there, and who doesn't? If you're putting stuff overhead, you're going to always have trap, rhomboid. You know, I had yesterday I had a rib out on that side. So this is going to help you get you back in the game, obviously. And, you know, Roger's been with me since the beginning here of Motivation Muscle. And obviously I talked to him when, with FBC before he came on. You know, I've done business with Roger for 25 years now. We started with my nephew when he was at York, and I still have that one-inch York bar with all the plates from way back when. So, you know, www.atomicathletic.com. You know, go out and look around. We talked about power racks, et cetera, et cetera. Roger's the same way. He's got great service, and you can get a hold of him. You're not going to usually get a hold of the guy that owns the company very much. And this is the thing with everybody here. Will Wong, Roger, John Wood, Mark Colligan, and Mark will call you back. You know, Joan is a number one. I love the woman. She is beautiful, man. She will help you out no matter what. So, Rog, great show. And like I said, I'll get that show up today. And thanks for being on the show, man.
Thanks, Eric.
You're welcome. So for Roger LaPointe, this is Eric Fiorello. You know what I'm going to tell you. Go out and lift some iron. Go out and bust your ass. Lift some stones. But most of all, if someone seeks you out in a gym or out in life, give them the time, because you don't know what you're going to do. You could inspire that person to greatness. So we all have a responsibility. That's what this show is about. Like we've been told, and Roger will tell you, I'll tell you, when you talk to any of us, this is the way you would talk to us in person. I don't pull any punches. I'm no different in person, probably even more harsh off the air. But the intentions are always there, and we want to see you all do well. That's our main mission, and we want you involved with the family here. So, you know, I want to thank everybody, obviously, you know, and I didn't really give the rest of stuff. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. We're on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell Motivation and Muscle. Obviously, if you want to get a hold of me, it's FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. And the Weight Is Over Fast is out. That's our weight loss product. 43 pounds in 6 months with Dennis. We've got pretty good reviews, and a lot of the guys that are either on the show or have done business with me have ordered it. It's definitely different. I call it the basically men, women. It's basically a working man style, I feel, working woman style. Working out, you don't need a lot of expensive equipment. You get into the body weight stuff that I teach here. I don't let anybody touch anything until they can, I feel, at least a month's worth of body work, because I feel it's very easy on the ligaments and tendons, and that's what you want, especially if you've been out of it for a number of years. We don't need to get you injured and push you through in 90 days like they're going to tell you. That's a load of shit, all right? So go out and take a look at that. There's going to be a lot more coming up, obviously, on the website. I can't say anything right now, but we are going to be doing some major things. So I would say look for that in the next month or so. And I think that's pretty much it. And like I said, don't be afraid to help somebody. Go out and do something in your life. You know, don't sit back and wait for it to happen. As my college teacher said, make it happen. So go out and smoke something real good. And I don't mean dope either. Go out and just bust some weights up. Have a good time. Enjoy your life. So Roger and I will talk to you next week. Have a great week and keep moving. Keep pushing.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.